April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
All right, let's talk to our next guest. He was there. He's covered it all year. He's been covering it for a bunch of years, and he might be getting ready to see another Eagles Super Bowl. And for that and more, we turn to our guy, Mr. Elliot Sherparks. How you doing, Elliot?
Yeah, I think the issue is when you win 38-7, you could pick any real part of the team. But I would have gone pass rush on that one. I really think they dominated early, so I'm surprised by that.
I was a little surprised that one got, trumped so much. Elliot, a lot of parts to get to here, but I want to ask you sort of an open-ended first question. When you're watching that game the other day, particularly once you get to the second quarter, third quarter, and you just know it's over, fourth quarter, what were you thinking about the Eagles' chances to win the Super Bowl this season?
I felt they were going to win it. I mean, I think that there's been long stretches of this season where you could debate if they're the best team in the NFL, but there was no debate. They were one of, five teams that had a real chance to win the Super Bowl. But I think that last month, and maybe I overestimated it, but I thought the last month with the injuries, kind of poor play, it didn't feel like that's where they were. It didn't feel like, when you watched them, like forget what the numbers said, when you just watched them, they didn't look like that dominant team. And the Giants certainly played a role in that. But when they went up even just 7-0, I thought, okay, yeah, they're back. You could just tell watching it that this is a team that, if not is going to win the Super Bowl, has a really, obviously, really, really good chance to do so.
Was that the most complete win of the season?
Probably. I mean, I really don't think the Giants are very good, so I think that's maybe something you take into consideration. But I thought they played a really clean game. I mean, obviously, to only let up 7 points, I would think that's the best of their season off the top of my head. So defensively, as good as the offense was, and I think seeing Jalen play like Jalen was obviously reassuring. Mm-hmm. I thought the reason that the game felt like they were never going to come back was because of the way the defensive line and the defense were dominating. So, it probably was the most complete game, especially when you consider it was the playoffs, right? I mean, remember what happened last year. So, yeah, I would say it's probably their most impressive performance.
What does this coaching staff harp on after a win like that? What do they tell the guys they need to improve?
Yeah, so, I mean, situational football, they were really good against the Giants on that. And the Giants are pretty good at situational football. Third down, red zone offense. But if I'm the coaching staff, those are the two things I'm harping on again, because I think against the Niners, and they're not as good at it, ironically. The Niners are in the bottom half of the league on both third down defense and red zone defense. So if the Eagles can keep focusing on that, keep executing at a high level, it's going to be huge against the Niners, because, they're probably not going to win that game by 31 points. You would think it would be a little bit closer. So converting into red zone, extending drives, I would harp on situational football again.
Elliot, what can you tell us about A.J. Brown? It was very obvious, especially on the TV version of the game, that he was frustrated on the bench on the fourth quarter. Could you tell, did he address post-game, if that was related to he wasn't that involved in the game when he played, or he was frustrated that he was injured, or the fact that they did not let him go back in the game because he was a little banged up?
So he did not speak after the game. Off the top of my head, I think that might be the first time all year he didn't speak. So, a little weird he didn't speak. But he was in the locker room. I saw him talking with his teammates. He seemed to be in good spirits. So, Nick Sirianni talks today at 2:45. Maybe we can get an update there. And then I'm sure AJ will talk during the week. I wouldn't read too much into that. You know, I think he's going to play on Sunday. And if he's frustrated in the moment, he's frustrated in the moment. But I don't think this is something that, you know, the fans should worry about.
Do you know what the injury is? They seemed a little banged up, stayed down quite a while after a couple plays.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Yeah, there were two plays, I think, in the second half where he was slow to get up. You know, I saw him in the locker room. He seemed fine. I don't know what exactly was hampering him. You know, maybe Sirianni will give us some detail later, but I think he seems okay.
Elliot, what'd you sense from Lane Johnson in the locker room after the game, how he came out of it?
He seemed good. You know, he played awesome. I mean, there was a moment in the game where I think it was a running play where he kind of sprinted down the field after the running back. And I think it was a really good, you know, honest look at how he was feeling. Because if he wasn't feeling good, you know, he probably walks to the line of scrimmage or he's not running at that point of the game. So, you know, even last week when he practiced, he came out of that practice feeling much better than expected. So, you know, I'm assuming, you know, he's going to play this Sunday. He played really well against the Giants. So I think at this point, you know, it seems like all systems go for him and he's playing well.
Similar question about Jalen Hurts. Just your impression of him physically after the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a little interesting. He kind of stuck with the good enough when talking about how he's feeling. Before the game, you know, Pam Oliver said that Jalen told her he wasn't close to 100%. So maybe it's something he's dealing with a little more than I thought heading into the game. But at this point, when you look at how he played, his willingness to run, I thought his deep ball to Devontae, or I think it was on the first drive, was a really encouraging sign early about how he was feeling. So, again, with him and Lane, and, you know, with a lot of players, but those two specifically, they're not going to be 100% probably the rest of the year, right? Two more games. There's not just enough time to heal. But I do think they're at a point where if they do not play, if they play poorly, I don't think it's injury related. I think they're healthy enough to go out there and play.
We've had some callers today giving Jonathan Gannon props. Was
rare occurrence.
Yeah. How differently did he coordinate this game, or is it just this was more of what he does and we didn't give him credit before?
I don't think he did anything that different. I mean, there were a few plays where he blitzed. You know, the interception was caused by blitz. But one of the biggest misconceptions is that they don't blitz. I mean, they were in, I think they finished in the top half of the league or maybe right around there in terms of blitzing. Again, they blitz more than the Niners, who everybody loves to talk about how great the Niners defense is. The Eagles defense is very comparable to the Niners defense in a lot of ways. So, I really think that Saturday was mostly they got after Daniel Jones early. They got him, you know, kind of rattled. The Giants really don't have much talent on offense. And they dominated, right? 7 points to 7 points, no matter who you're facing. But I don't think he did anything drastically different because it was the playoffs. I just think they played a bad offense and they dominated.
Yeah. You know, there were blitzes in this game where we were beaten because we blitzed. Like there was one long run. I remember a Saquon run on their drive where they scored that was entirely because we were aggressive, aggressive. We ran right by it.
And that's the thing. I mean, look, blitzing is something you do when you don't have talent on defense, right? Because you need to compensate for it. You need to fabricate ways to get pressure. So the Eagles don't have to do that. But, yeah, if you blitz, there can be positives, right? You hit Daniel Jones, he throws it to James Bradbury. But it's really hit or miss. And as you mentioned, if you blitz a ton, you're going to give up big plays. Yeah. And one thing the Eagles don't do is give up big plays.
Elliot Short Parks with us. So, Elliot, Saturday was obviously very intense. Sunday, much more casual for a lot of us, just being able to watch all the games, you know, chill. What did you think of Brock Purdy? I mean, he's going to be the quarterback Sunday at the Link. What did you think of his performance?
So I thought a couple things stood out about Brock Purdy. One is he does move well in the pocket. Like, he does avoid pressure. I don't think he's a threat to turn open lanes into 20 yards. He only picked up, I think, 5 first downs all year running the ball. But he can move in the pocket. He can avoid pressure. He certainly does put the ball in harm's way. I mean, if Diggs picks off that pass, maybe they lose that game, right? So I think he is risky with the ball. But I do think he's better than, you know, the Jake Fromms of the world, you know, some of these guys they've faced. I think if the Eagles don't get pressure on him, he's good enough to sit back there and pick him apart. But I do think he is someone that if they can get at him early, he clearly can be rattled, especially in Philadelphia. It's probably going to be the most hostile place he's ever played. So I think he's definitely a beatable quarterback.
Me too.
Elliot, what do you think Jerry Jones is thinking this morning about Dak Prescott?
You know, do you think he would go after Sean Payton and Tom Brady? I was thinking about that. When you think about the fact that you could move on from Dak Prescott if you wanted to, you could save like $30 million. He might not bring back Mike McCarthy. He's always been interested in hiring Sean Payton. And Tom Brady's always been interested in working with Sean Payton. That was kind of my thing. I mean, look, they'll probably bring him back, but I don't think enough people are connecting those dots as Tom Brady's going to look for a new home, and Dallas is likely looking for a new head coach. So that was my thought watching.
Well, that's interesting. That's a very interesting thought. And I'll say this, the Brock Purdy performance in 6 days could also factor in because, you know, San Francisco could want to try to get Brady.
Yeah.
Of course, he grew up there, and they obviously have a team roster-wise that's good enough to win the title. The question is their quarterback good enough?
So, yeah, I think at this point they're probably going to bring Purdy back, you know, barring a complete disaster.
I don't know, man.
That
I don't know.
Be another spot.
I don't see the Purdy thing. I know a lot of people are high on the Purdy thing. I don't quite get it. All right, Elliot, shape the week for us. I mean, how much of this is just a normal week? They played on a Saturday. They now play on a Sunday. What is normal this week? What is different this week for the Eagles from a practice standpoint?
Well, from a practice standpoint, and we have not gotten the schedule yet, but I would assume that they are going to handle this exactly like a regular week. I mean, that is one thing you hear a lot from Jalen and Nick Sirianni just in messaging to the team is, you know, treat it like a normal week. You know, every week's the same. We play for each other. The opponent, the stage doesn't matter. So I would think they would intentionally try to keep things as normal as possible. But there's also the reality that they're in the NFC Championship game. Things are going to be different. There's going to be more media. There's going to be more media obligations, but I would think in terms of when they practice, the meeting times, those type of things, they'll try to keep it as normal as possible. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, with Thursday being the most intense practice.
Elliot, last thing and the really important things. Why didn't Jeffrey Lurie dance in the locker room after this game the way he did 5 years ago after the divisional round win? I mean, he was getting down 5 years ago, man.
It's a good point, but I think at this point, it sounds crazy, but they're kind of, you know, not want to say used to it,
but I think
the expectations are higher now. The 2017 team, we believed in them because something was going on. The 2022 team, we believe in them because they're awesome, and I think that's a difference in how you celebrate a win like that on Saturday.
I agree with you. I think they're better this year. Elliot, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you, I'm sure, multiple times this week. Thanks, pal.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you.
There he is, Elliot Sherparks.